first step in dealing with stress is to stop focusing on your problem and begin focusing on God.
Well, that was Max Lucado, who apparently, despite writing 12 million books, actually struggles with anxiety himself. So we'll be hearing more from him coming up in that segment where he talks about his book, Anxious for Nothing. We will also have our inbox segment. I get a chance to answer a girl who is starting to date online. And when she sees that guys are divorced, she's not sure how to ask them the reason for the divorce. This week's show sponsor is actually Evidence That Demands a Verdict, the new updated version written by father and son Josh and Sean McDowell, completely updated to speak truth to today's generation. You can get a free chapter at readevidencechapter.com. That's readevidencechapter.com. Well, here we are for our round table, and we have got Jake, Brandon, and Catherine here. Hey, guys.
Hello.
What it do?
Great to have you. All right. We are going to talk about worry today. But
been really anxious about this one.
Very. Yeah, exactly. So it's interesting because we had come across an article that actually makes the case for some worry being good. And we're going to talk about that a little bit. But what first off, I need a temp check here. Who generally considers themselves more of a worrier than not? Or can you think of anything straight off the bat that you tend to worry about?
I'm a worrier, only in a very specific area. And I don't know if I've talked about it on this show or not.
Well, now you're going to.
But, guys, I grew up, I was exposed to a lot of eschatological theology as a child, very early, too early. And so I have spent the better part of two decades trying to figure out what the heck is going on with all this eschatology stuff, because there are so many opinions, and it freaked me out when I first ran into it as a kid. And I've spent the last, almost two decades trying to figure out how to save my soul from, the day of the Lord.
Well, please define eschatology just for those who may
not know. Oh, yeah, sorry. otherwise known as the end times. Eschatology is the study of the end of the world as we know it. And so the study of Revelation or Daniel or all the prophecies about who, what, when, where, and why, and so many different interpretations of that. And those freaked me out as a kid, and I'm still digging my way out from underneath all that stuff.
Okay. So what specifically, though? Why are you worried about it? Because I'm on the opposite end of the spectrum. I'm like, God knows what's going to happen, and I'm saved, so it'll all come out in the wash. Whatever.
Yeah. Unfortunately for my anxious thoughts is I'm not a Calvinist, so I don't believe in this predetermination thing where I'm totally set, so I always worry that I'm going to screw it up or I'm going to miss something or that was the mark of the beast. I totally got that. I didn't think it was that thing. I was a credit card. That was what it was. I guess I'm not going to heaven because I got the mark. So I have this legalistic mindset. That's another thing I'm trying to shed, but it stems from that. This legalism, this pride that says I've got to figure out the right way to do this. I can't miss anything in the eschatological things because I don't want to serve the beast or the dragon or whatever it is, depending on who you talk to, or Mystery Babylon and all those. Like, I got to figure out who all these players are so I don't accidentally lose my salvation.
Okay.
Because I would really hate to do that accidentally. Mm-hmm. And so all this, it's really weird, and it's almost like, It's actually really a huge problem for me.
Okay, so we're going to actually have to
this is good.
Start
this is good.
Setting up some out. Sessions, yeah. Jake, here, where I talk you through my Reformed theology and its applications for life. So, okay, but that'll come in the future. Brandon, what about you? You've kind of confessed a little worry in the past.
And now I'm worried about eschatology. Thanks, Jake.
That's all. Yeah, I'm never so thought glad about to that. Bring You're everybody right. else awesome. Into my a new worry crazy into my life. Brain. Yes.
So I'm worried about you, Brandon.
Yeah. We're just bearing one another's burdens. Wow. That's what we're doing.
Awesome.
Okay. I feel so much lighter. Yeah. I feel so much lighter now knowing that Brandon is going to be bearing it with me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I do worry. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know if it's anything specifically. Before I left California, I always used to worry about getting trapped under a bridge in an earthquake.
Oh, yeah.
Because they used to have
earthquakes. Oh, that can happen there.
And it really can.
Yeah.
Eschatology. Earthquakes and famines, man.
Right. See? It's all. But
it's lighting up.
I just tend to worry about future things. I don't know. I can't really pinpoint one specific thing, but I do tend to dwell on things and usually jump to the worst conclusion.
Yeah.
Possible. So.
Yeah. Okay. No, that's, I think that's very, common in a sense of, you know, I know I've talked with several friends where I have gotten into fights with a couple of them where I'm like, you always like write the end of the book. It's like nothing's even happened yet. And you're already on the last chapter and it's a worst case scenario and, you know, whatever. So we've gotten into a few bickering sessions on that. All right, Catherine, what about you?
Oh, yeah, 100%. I think for me in this season of life, I worry that I'm not being enough in like any area of my life. Recently, like it's been with my relationship with my parents, because I feel like I'm reading like, so I'll read these books about like preparing for like marriage and the next season of my life. And then there's also books for like kids, like here's how you respect your parents. And I'm somewhere in between those seasons. And so I'm always like, what's my responsibility? Like, I feel like I'm just so worried that I'm not doing everything I'm supposed to be doing. And then like in other areas, I'm like, oh, but at the same time, I'm not being a great friend, but like I'm not being. So like I definitely like spiral into like the bad conclusion thing because I always feel like if I ever assumed something was fine and it wasn't, then I would just like never forget myself.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's in a little way a kind of a worst case scenario thing. It's like you're worrying about things that you don't even know to worry about yet.
Right. That's I don't know.
You're worried that you're not worrying about the right thing.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, my goodness. Yes, exactly. Wow. I'm worried that
Okay. What kind of things do you worry about, would you guys say, that are, I mean, there are some productive things to worry about. Like I would say, you know, yeah, we all need to be concerned about having a job, about being fruitful, doing things that matter, about, you know, caring for other people and stuff like that. But then there's also unproductive worry. And have you got, I mean, because didn't I hear that stat once that there are really only 10% of things that you worry about that you actually have control over? And the other 90% is just completely out of your hands. And yet we put a lot of capital and energy and whatever into worrying about them. And as a result, they are leading to a lot of stress-related health problems and all this other kind of stuff. So what would you say are some of the things that you know you shouldn't worry about, but yet you do, and maybe eschatology is one.
It absolutely is that for me, because it becomes a paralyzing fear.
Yeah.
That's what happens to me, is it becomes I get into this over-analysis where I find out about someone's new theory, and maybe I don't get into the like really crazy stuff, like Hal Smith or whatever his name was.
And Lindsay?
Hal Lindsay. Yeah. Yeah, sorry, Hal Smith. I'm fusing Mormons with this other stuff.
Okay.
There probably is a guy named Hal Smith that does this for the Mormons. No. but for me, I can get into these conspiracy theory type mindsets where I've got to track down every loose thread and could it be this, that, or the other thing. And all of a sudden I'm not doing my work. I'm not present with my wife or my kids or my friends or wherever I'm at. I'm just kind of consumed with, yeah, but what if, when there actually is wisdom from Jesus, both in Matthew 6 and in Matthew 24, where in Matthew 6, he's talking about don't be anxious about tomorrow because today's got enough for you to deal with. And then in Matthew 24, where he's literally just told the disciples about the destruction of the temple and all these kind of scary things that are going to happen in the future sometime. And then he says, but you know what? You know who a good and faithful servant is? Who just takes care of the people around him the way I've asked him to today. And that's directly from God. Every time he talks about the trouble he faced, he says, take care of what's around you today, the people around you today. And so that helps me when I'm facing those situations. It's like, is this something I can help with today, that I can take care of today? And if not, is it paralyzing me from taking care of things today? And that kind of has become my rubric for, is this healthy motivational worry that's causing me to work hard to provide for my kids and for my family? Or is this paralysis, you know, analysis paralysis, where I'm just not doing anybody any good at any point because I'm so anxious?
Yeah. Okay. Awesome. Okay. Other unproductive worries and what you have or haven't done to tackle them.
I worry about like medical issues.
Okay.
Kind of. And I think there's a term for that. People that have like a fear. And
hypochondria.
So, there it is.
Okay.
Hypochondria. Okay. And so.
You mean like stuff that's big, like you're going to get something big?
Right. Or you think, you know, you have like some pain in your side and it hasn't gone away in a few days, and so you go onto WebMD and
no,
then,
never
you,
do that.
Then you
never
realize
do
you're
that.
Gonna die. Like,
yeah,
you're just,
it's your
you know?
Version of yeah. It's like right. I go online to see when the world's gonna end. You're right. going online to see when your kidney's
but
gonna explode.
But WebMD always says like tumor. Like it's yeah. never like oh it's fine. Yeah.
Have you guys yeah. watched Parks and Rec?
No,
at all?
Not really. No,
where Chris Pratt is typing in someone's symptoms. He thinks he's going to WebMD. He's uh-huh. like, "Hey Leslie, I typed in your symptoms, and it says you have network connectivity problems."
Oh dear.
Yeah. Anyways, go
yeah.
ahead.
So that's the big one okay. for me, and then it just paralyzes you with you know every little twitch or every little thing that doesn't feel right. And so I just have to number one, if you have something, okay, you know, yeah. it's kind of probably important to make sure you're noticing things that don't seem right. But a lot of it I've found in my life has been just mental, you yeah. know. And then if I don't go and try to figure out what it is, just go to my doctor. It tends to work itself out. But there was a period of time where it was like every little thing, mm-hmm. what's that, you know, and then it would be like, oh great, I'm gonna die, and then you're dealing with that for like a week, and then it nothing happens and it goes away. And then and I think the other thing that's been newer for me has just been as I'm getting ready to get married, just those things in the future, and you see different moral failures or you see situations in marriages mm-hmm. that you go like mm-hmm.
Never saw that coming.
Is that going to be yeah. me? You know, and so it's those things that you start thinking
yeah.
about.
Yeah, sure. absolutely. I'm nowhere near getting married anytime soon, but it's the same thing. It's like I see guys around me who have great intentions and they're all like living for the Lord. And I'm like, wow, like I'm so glad that I'm surrounded by like so many guys that are very passionate about the Lord. But then I'm like, and then I hear about middle-aged adults that make these big moral decisions. And I just picture them being that 20-year-old guy that had such great intentions. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, something happens and I don't know what it is. And I'm worried that not necessarily them, but also me, like that something happens that you can't control, I guess. But mm-hmm. the other thing is kind of like your medical thing, except with relationships for me. I'm an assumer, you know? So like if somebody like does something differently, I'm always like, oh no, like that probably means this, which probably means this, which probably means this. And like, I mean, it's hardly ever true, but I just, it goes back to me worrying that I'm not worrying enough. So like, I'm like, I'm probably not being a good friend. So she probably thinks I'm not a good friend. And mm-hmm. yeah, it's pretty pathetic, honestly. Yeah. So, but yeah.
Well, it's funny because I was thinking about this in terms of my family because, you know, they're just one of my self-discoveries lately has been that my family's a lot weirder than I thought we were, like with a lot more quirks, some of which are borderline, I don't know, pathological problems. I don't know. But and I've got him too, you know. One of my things has been like worry about getting older, and I think some of that is just walking my mom through that process. Some of it is just seeing friends of mine that now are their kids are like moving towards being grown, which I'm just like, didn't we just go to college together? What happened? And where did I get left behind? And then just feeling like, I mean, when I was in my 20s, I like laughed at this, like the women who were just like, I'm just a has-been, I'm getting so old and whatever. And now I'm like, oh my word, I'm sitting there. It's so easy to just have the comparison game of with everyone. So it's just nutty. But the one way I make myself feel better is I look at my siblings and I'm like, well, at least I'm not as crazy as they are, because they are like, I have sisters and brother-in-laws that will not fly, will not go on a ship, will not drive in large cities, will not, I mean, and the things that they're doing in their lives now that are so limiting, it's like, how do you guys even live? Like, what in the world? Or they're afraid to, like, get an iPhone because they think that, or they'll make the excuse of, like, well, I'm afraid to get an iPhone because then it's just going to consume my life. And I'm like, no, your issues are going to consume. You know, don't yeah. blame the technology. Don't blame.
Yo, crazy so, is taking up all your time.
So, anyway, it's just funny how we like to finger point and get caught up in this kind of stuff and take it too far, in a sense. But that said, and I referenced this this article, it was from Science Daily, The Upside of Worrying. And did you guys find, I mean, basically it was talking about two things, worry as a motivator and then as an emotional buffer. So let's talk about it as a motivator. Where has worry actually been productive in your life? And, you know, you can call it worry or you can call it, like, I don't know what you want to call it, that's euphemizing it or whatever. But the motivational power of worry, what do you guys think about the article putting that out there?
for me, that actually was part of what put me on a different trajectory in my college career. I was looking at doing, I was a political science major for my freshman year of college. And then I was kind of thinking, man, what kind of job am I going to get as a political science major? Am I limiting myself to a very narrow field that I actually don't really want to be in? And so, like, starting to have these second thoughts that you could say were a form of motivational worry of, am I going to be able to get a job or the type of job that I want in the career field that I want with this type of degree? And that got me started on the path of thinking, okay, maybe I actually need to look at a different degree program, and did cause me to change my degree and do a communications and media studies instead, because I thought that would make my, that sounded more in my vein and gave me a broader range of options. So for me, that was a helpful form of motivational worry that I've experienced.
Yeah, it's good.
Or I worry about feeding my kids and my wife.
Yeah.
And so that keeps me showing up
you,
to work.
I was going to say, it helps you show up at work each day. That's
like
good.
If I don't come in today, I might not be able to feed my kids soon. Mm-hmm.
That is true. Yeah. I think some of the things I did in my past, the worry of possibly like backsliding into that, there's motivation behind not wanting to, just protecting yourself, guarding your heart to make sure that you don't kind of fall back into a old bad habit. So that, I think that part there is, and again, I see it just with, just as, again, as I move into marriage, just with the way I've had some recent events kind of happen, not in my life, but just in my circle of friends, where it kind of gives you pause and you go, oh, wow, you know, it's good to worry about those things, because you just never know, you know, you can't, we're all sinful. We all fall short. And so I think it can act as that buffer between, you know, really just guarding yourself from going down a path or slipping back into a bad habit.
Yeah. I remember a friend telling me how she used to have a motorcycle, and she knew, and in part it was like her sister, you know, mentioned this to her, and some of it she just knew, but she was pretty reckless, and she just she doesn't have a lot of fear. And she just knew that, like, for the sake of her mom, for her sister, for her friends, for those who loved her, that she couldn't ride that motorcycle safely, and so she knew she had to give it up. And so she just loved, I mean, and it's not even that she didn't ride, you know, without a helmet or anything like that, but she would just get crazy, and she's like, you know what, this is probably not a good thing for me. And so having that, it's interesting to be able to look outside of yourself and see, you know, the both the benefits and the ramifications on other people to be able to do that as well.
That's funny, because I bought a motorcycle last semester and I've been a little too worried to learn to drive it.
Well, it's okay as long as you just sit on it in your driveway. You
know, right, take a picture for Facebook.
Yeah. Exactly.
Liam Mahog.
Yeah.
We'll see. It's not Harley, no.
No, not that. Okay. And one of the other ones that it mentioned was worry as a buffer. I thought this was funny the way it described it, saying that, you know, being worried about certain things or having a healthy fear of things allows the good emotions that we feel to be heightened, in the sense of it makes us more positive about the things in life that are good, because we know realistically that there are bad things that can happen in life too. Mm-hmm. Has anyone had that experience in their life?
That was me before every single sporting event that I played in. I would be terrified at, man, I'm going to blow it. I'm going to do something terrible. I'm going to screw this up for the whole team. And then we'd play the game. That wouldn't happen. And I'd feel great afterwards.
Isn't it how funny, though, how, like, you never learn from that?
It's right.
The same
a week later, it's Friday night again, and it's like, I'm going to screw it up. I'm throwing up on the sidelines because I'm so nervous about how bad this is going to go.
I did that, too. I was in debate in high school, and there was a season I threw up before every round. It was awful.
Terrible.
And then I, like, one time my partner and I won a tournament, and I still worried the next tournament. Like, I was like, oh.
Wow. I'm going to tell you guys, that just drives, like, optimistic people nuts. That is, there are some of us that are the opposite. We, like, going, oh, I'm going to do so awesome, and then we do terrible, and then we're like, oh, okay, whatever. So,
but then next time we're like, I'm going to own this.
We're going to totally be awesome. Yeah, it's absolutely different scenario.
Like,
so
that.
Too funny. But, well, oh my word, we are out of time, you guys. This has been a great springboard to the discussion. Hopefully you all will continue it over at the blog, because we love to hear from you guys out there in listener land as well. So worry, how has it played a role in your life? Has it been good, bad? What are the prolonged worries versus the temporary ones, the big ones and the small ones? We want to hear your take on it. So thanks, you guys, for weighing in.
Yeah, thank you.